All right, guys. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Welcome back
to the Flick Chicks podcast.
I'm Allison.
And I'm Jane.
How are you, Jane?
I am good. I just have to finish up one paper that's due tonight, and then I will be done for this semester.
Nice. I still have a lot of papers. I have a paper due on the 22nd, which is the day I get back from Spain, so I'm like, haha, we need to finish that. So, we haven't even started it. So, I mean, I have like an outline and I've been getting quotes and like reading sources and watching movies, but boy howdy, we have not actually started the actual essay. So, I'm gonna start that tomorrow morning on the train.
Very nice.
I know. So, you know, here's hoping she gets it done. Which means I'm gonna have to take my laptop. And if not, I have a plane ride back to London on the day that it's due. So
if all else fails.
If all else fails, we're gonna get it. We're gonna get it there no matter what. So hopefully it's good. I have no idea what's gonna happen, but, you know, we can dream.
I totally understand. I have no clue where I think I know where my final grades are going, but I'm always just freak out that I'm like, because so many of my professors don't put any grades in.
Yes, until the last it's grade. So annoying.
And I'm like, I just want to know. I have no idea what I have.
I know. I just have so much stuff due because nothing's due until like the end of the year here. And I guess you're supposed to work on it the whole time, but you can't really do that because if it's like, oh, the lecture on the topic that you want to do your paper over is the second to last lecture of the year. It's like, well, I guess I could start it before then, but I don't know. It's like, you don't. It's hard. It's hard here. I also have no motivation because my classes are all pass-fail. A pass is a 40%. And also, even if I fail it, it doesn't transfer back.
Huh.
So where's the motivation? She's not here.
Yeah, I wouldn't have the motivation either. There's no consequences, Allison.
There's no consequences to not doing well. But then also, like, there is a big part of me that's like, well, you can't just not do it. I have to do it. So, I will.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking about Die Hard, bitches.
Yeah, Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie. It's Christmas. Why not?
You know, they sing carols in it. I don't care.
They reference Christmas like 87 times. Honestly, here's the thing. I don't think you can say The Nightmare Before Christmas is a Christmas movie if this one isn't.
Oh, I agree.
And I think that if you're going to exclude any movie that is vaguely about Christmas or centered in Christmas, if you're going to exclude those from all Christmas movies, you're going to be left with some pretty shitty movies. You're not going to have as many Christmas movies to pick from.
It's so true. You kind of just got to take them where you can get them.
Exactly. So I say yes to Die Hard being a Christmas movie, even though I know controversial.
Controversial statement.
Controversial statement. Why would you say something so controversial and yet so brave?
Die Hard's a Christmas movie. I came home to discover whenever I decided that I wanted to watch this movie because I went to an honors program thing and watched Die Hard 2.
Ah, yes.
And I was like, it's also a Christmas movie, but it's set in a plane station, an airport.
A plane station?
I can't believe I just said that on air. Oh my god.
You know, the place where they park the planes.
a hangar. No, it's set at an airport. That is what that's called.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
That's good. You can't make this shit up. Yeah.
So then I was like, you know, it'd be fun. I want to know what Allison thinks of the first Die Hard. So here we are.
I'd actually never seen the first Die Hard.
I didn't think so. So I wanted to hear what you thought of it.
I think it's pretty fun. I think it's a good old fun action flick.
It is Bruce a fun Lewis. Action flick. It, like, I'm not the biggest fan of action movies, but it's a good action movie.
Me neither, but yeah, you're right. It is good. And, like, Alan Rickman, what a villain. I love
what
it.
What a villain, right? He's perfect.
He really is. And, like, I was kind of like, is that? I mean, you can tell by his voice. You can always tell, but his makeup was so good. I was like, is that Alan Rickman?
Like, I know. He looked great and scary, and his voice yeah. was terrifying. And I was like, man, yeah. I'm scared.
I loved it. And, I mean, it's like, it's, the plot is so, ooh, I just banged the table, sorry if you heard that. The plot is, like, so vague that it's, like, the background, like, why are they in a fight? What really happened? Other than, like, so, basically, his name's John McClane, right?
Yeah, John McClane.
John McClane. He's a New York City cop. And
he's a rough and tumble New York City cop, baby.
Pow, pow. so basically his wife, like, works as something in a business.
Of sorts?
I don't know what the business does. It seems maybe, like, either, like, architecture or real estate. Or something with buildings, for sure.
Yeah, but I really have by no idea.
It's owned by a Japanese man. And maybe a Japanese company. This is also sort of vague. She does something. And she is good at it. I don't know what she does, but whatever it is. Basically, anytime they were, like, talking about the job, they were like, you know, meetings, business. And I was like, all right, yeah, I know. So, she is good at business, and so she moves to LA to work in this business, but he did not want to move, because he does not like LA, and he thinks his wife essentially will do horrible and come crawling back. And that he will get to live in New York and never have to live in LA. So, it is already not the greatest reason as to why they're split up. They are still married. They yes. are not even, like, technically separated.
But she's their living children, in LA.
Their children have no clue what's fucking going on. She has both the kids. And they don't... He doesn't see them. So, basically...
That's really sad.
Yeah, I was like, not the Husband of the Year award, for sure. So then... He essentially is gonna surprise her by coming to LA for Christmas. And try to, like, reconcile their marriage. Because it's basically looking like if he doesn't, they're not going to be married for much longer.
Yeah. He needs to come back and, like, work stuff out.
Yeah. And so he shows up with this fucking awesome limo driver.
Argyle.
Argyle. That's a print. They drive, and basically he says, you go in, if you can make up with her, then you can call me and I'll leave and I'll bring your bags up. And if you don't make up with her, just come back down and I'll get you a hotel, whatever. So he goes up, finds his wife. She's going by her maiden name. So
yeah, it's a big deal.
It hurts. It hurts him. And then he meets a bunch of her work friends, right? Like, he meets all the people she works with.
Because there's a party going on.
Yeah, it's like a Christmas party, basically. And then basically terrorists come. So, they basically get into a fight about her being here, him being here, the maiden name thing, whatever. And then terrorists show up. Led by Alan Rickman. They're all really rich and they're in nice suits. They show up.
And a lot of them have long blonde hair.
Yeah, they're European. I think German. So.
Yeah, they speak German, don't they, at one point?
I think so, yeah. So they basically take all the workers hostage, including his wife, but not him. He's hidden. And they basically, like, find out who the boss is, this Japanese man. They take him into a room, and they try and get him to give him, like, the code to the safe or whatever, but he doesn't know it because he doesn't have that high of clearance, and then you just fucking kill him. And so you find out they're trying to break into this safe to, like, steal $600 million or something like that.
Yeah.
But the safe is, like, very difficult, which apparently they have a hacker who can just hack into the safe, so it's like, why the hell did we kill this guy? I don't know. But we did. And then, so then John McClane is like, I am gonna rescue all these people, right? He's a cop. He's gotta figure something out.
He's a New York cop. He plays by his own rules. He's a New York
cop. So, first of all, the first note I ever wrote in this is, he has a handgun, right?
Yeah.
And he has a handgun because he's strapped always. And then at one point, he fights someone, kills them, and gets their machine gun. This building is entirely made out of glass. Why doesn't this dumb motherfucker just shoot through the window? If you're shooting through the window at, like, someone's car or into someone's house, like, they're gonna call the cops.
That's true.
If you can't call the cops, why wouldn't you just shoot at someone? Which, this is eventually what he does, but it takes him, like, half the movie to get there. Like, at one point, he's standing, and he looks out, and he sees a woman's apartment complex, and she's in the window. And I was like, why wouldn't you just shoot through her window?
That's true.
You have a machine gun. You can clearly break. I thought, oh, maybe the glass can't be broken, but then he breaks the glass later, so it's clearly not the case. But then he basically gets a walkie-talkie off the dead guy. Gets the channel that's, like, the police-only channel and radios for help. But unfortunately, he has the worst 911 operator of all time, who is like, excuse me, this is a private channel for police? And he's like, yeah, I'm calling the police. I don't know why, when she says, call 911, why he doesn't say, the phone lines are down. But this is just me.
This is just me. It's an action movie.
I know. I guess it wouldn't make for a very compelling movie if the police showed up right away. Although the police show up halfway through and it's still pretty compelling. So I say, we got the worst 911 operator ever, but honestly, that's how some be. some 911 operators really do be like this. So I was like, kind of not that unrealistic. And then I was like, okay, we got the cops. Now what? Well, cops are dumb. He leaves. They get the cops. The real cops. They show up. Cops are dumb as fuck, as per usual, right? Like, the LAPD can't do anything. So,
again, not that unrealistic.
Gotta hand it to them. They were before their time.
Yeah, this is 88, right?
Yes. And I can't remember what spurned me to write this, what in the movie made me write this, but I said, John McClane was Captain America before Captain America.
But barefoot.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember why I wrote that. I think it was when he was talking on the, like, walkie-talkie to Hans. I was like, serious Captain America vibes. Also, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, is one of the best lines of all time, and it's the truth.
It is. It is very compelling. That, yeah. That's the right word for that line.
Yeah, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, that's so good. Ugh. I was like, chills. Now I know why people say this all the time. I thought I wouldn't really appreciate the big quotes because I've heard them so much, but I was wrong. They fit in perfectly to the movie.
Yeah, they do. They really fit in perfectly to the flow of the movie.
Yeah. And okay, so basically he's on the walkie-talkie or whatever. They're just like talking. He's just talking with the terrorists and also the cops, but it's a party channel so everyone can hear. And they're basically keeping it a secret that John McClane's wife is here, right? Like, that's a big secret. Because obviously, if they knew his wife was there, they would probably do something with that information. So, basically, then they... This guy, like... I don't know, they just... It's a lot of, like, people trying to come after John McClane and him killing them. And him taking
in,
stuff.
In various badass manners.
Yeah, so he ends up taking out this guy that has detonators to bombs, along with a lot of explosives. And this is when John realizes, like, okay, something's going on here. Like, why do they have all these explosives? Also, I wrote down, why would you ever send out the guy that has your detonator?
So, like, true. These terrorists, not very smart.
No, I was like, for someone with, like, such a plan, the fact that you kept the detonator on a person and then, like, let him go after this guy who's already killed, like, three of your guys, I was like, not a great move. So then other cops show up, right, and they decide to send in cops. By the way, without ever making any attempting to make contact with the terrorists. They know there are terrorists. They've confirmed by this point that there are terrorists.
Yes.
With hostages, like 30 hostages. They never attempt to make contact with these terrorists. The police don't. And they send in guys. The guys get killed. Duh. They're bad hostage negotiators. I wrote realistic because cops are stupid.
How can you say something so controversial yet so brave?
And not controversial at all, just the T. Ma'am. Then I said, so then this cop, what's his name? Al? I think that's his name, but I could be really wrong.
That's
really wrong, I think. I just feel like he's an owl for some reason. Die hard.
You're right!
It's Al?
It's Al Powell!
Yay! Okay, that was a good name because I remembered it. I said, Al starts talking about how he killed a kid. And I was like, kind of too real.
Right? Oh my god, it's so intense.
I was like, the only not real part about it is that he feels remorse. And then I said, why don't they just let them have the money? I don't give a shit about rich people. Like, they're literally willing to lose, like, 30 people over what is $600 million that, by the way, there's no way you're not going to be able to find them when there's literally 13 terrorists and $600 million in bonds. You'll find them. The music's really good. I wrote that. But then, so basically the FBI shows up. And the FBI does, like, classic terrorist stuff. Except, except not really. They say, like, classic terrorist stuff, but I was like, okay, but they didn't really, like, negotiate. You would never, like, get the terrorists out without negotiating how you're going to get the hostages out, also. That doesn't make sense at all. And then you find out the FBI is going to, like, kill some of the hostages in order to get to the terrorists, and you're like, what? What kind of FBI is this? And meanwhile, John McClane's, like, still in the building, just kicking ass, taking names. This fucking guy named Elliot, at some point, tries to, like, sell him out, but ends up getting killed because he's an idiot. And it makes, like, one of the cops, like, the chief of police or whatever at the LAPD, it makes him, like, hate John McClane because he let that guy die instead of, like, saving him. And I was like, what a stupid fucking thing. All the cops in this are incompetent.
Except John McClane.
Except John McClane, who I said, a cop that's paid shit can do all this.
It's not even his jurisdiction, and he's just, like, kicking ass and taking names.
Taking it out. So basically, they find out that what the terrorists are going to do is they've requested helicopters. And they've said, we're going to get the helicopters, and then we're going to take them to the Los Angeles airport, LAX. We're going to drop all the hostages off, and we're going to fly away. And the FBI are like, yep, okay, we'll do that. But their real plan is to, like, try and shoot all the terrorists while they're getting the they're not going to drop off the helicopters. They're going to try and shoot the terrorists once they're up on the roof. But the truth is, the terrorists actually have an escape plan. They have a van that looks like an ambulance. It probably is just an ambulance now that I'm thinking about it. They have an ambulance, and they're going to blow up the top part of the building, so the roof of the building, kill all the hostages, and while everyone's freaking out and wondering what happened, and they're, like, looking for all the hostages, they'll be, like, so unrecognizable they won't be able to tell if the terrorists were there or not, and in all the, like, haze, the terrorists will escape. So John McClane figures this out because he runs into Hans on the top floor. And Hans pretends, with this amazing accent, by the way, pretends to be, like, one of the workers. And, but of course, John McClane outsmarts him, and he would have killed him had two other guys not shown up, one of which he kills. And then, basically, John McClane saves all the hostages by being like, get the fuck down. But the helicopters mistake him for a terrorist, so they start shooting at him. And he jumps through a window in a really cool scene while the roof blows up.
Oh, it's so good!
And then they find Hans. Also the limo driver, who this whole time has been, like, unaware, just parked, unaware of what's happening. Partying. He ends up hearing on the radio, what's happening. And he rams into the ambulance when he sees it, once he realizes that it's the terrorists. So he stops their escape. And then, the media gets involved, right? And they figure out that John McClane's wife works there. And they put it on the news, and Hans sees it. So he takes John McClane's wife as, like, an extra special hostage.
He makes her even more of a hostage than she already was.
Yeah, she's already a hostage, but now she's a super hostage. And, like, they end up getting in this fight for her, and he ends up killing one of the guys that's, like, holding her. And he and Hans, like, get in this big fight, and he, like, pushes Hans out the window, and
Hans grabs onto her.
Yeah, but he saves her, and Hans falls out the window and dies.
It's pretty satisfying.
It was pretty satisfying. It was very much like how Gaston dies in Beauty and the Beast. And it was very, like, one of those situations. And then they basically go down and all is well. And then there's a terrorist who was alive, who, like, hates John McClane because he killed his brother, who was also a terrorist. It kind of seems like that's the name of the game, champ. But he tries to kill John McClane, even though he knows it's up. He figures, like, oh, I can kill him. But then sweet Al, who's been too scared to draw a gun ever since he accidentally killed that kid, pulls a gun, shoots the terrorist.
Incredible.
Wins the day. First time I've ever been happy that someone shot a gun. And I said, I wrote, Bruce Willis is both the best and worst actor ever.
Let's unpack that.
It's so stupid. It's such easy, like, the dialogue is, like, cheesy. Like, it's all just one-liners. And, like, the most emotional scene he has in the entire movie is when he's talking to Al, and he's like, tell my wife that I'm sorry. Like, I should have believed in her. And you're like, yeah, no fucking shit, dumbass. But then it's just so fun to watch him. He's so captivating.
He is. He's entertaining.
He is entertaining. And you're like, oh, I love this. Even though it's so kind of dumb. It's just so good. It's so... I don't know what it is about this movie that is, like, so interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. It is just one-liners and action, but it's so captivating.
But it's something about it is different than other action films where it's just, like, one-liners and stuff. I don't know if it's... I don't know if it's the villains or, like, how complicated everything is, or if it's maybe it's like the fact that the police are there and that this should all go really smoothly, but because everyone's so goddamn incompetent, he's the only one making things go right. I don't, it's also just got a lot of humor in it, I feel like.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like, this movie is very, it's very funny, which also helps, I think. It's just so silly. Mainly just, like, how vague everything is. Like,
I love business. How vague everything is.
They work at business, and his wife does something. It's like a Japanese man, and it's so ridiculous. And the terrorists are, like... And it turns out that, like, they're not terrorists, right? They're just, like, really skilled thieves. Who pretend to be a terrorist organization in order to, like...
Scare people.
Scam. Yeah, like, scam the FBI and stuff. I was like, this is so silly. It's also just, like, nothing about this makes sense. Law enforcement. Like, nothing the law enforcement does is, like, right at all. Ugh. And I will say, real, the media would totally fucking do that.
Oh my god, I know. If you need to watch the second one, there's actually some repercussions for the media being terrible.
Good. Also, I just want to say that, like, in an actual crime scene like this, where sensitive information... I guess they don't know it's sensitive, but I was going to say, because in actual crime scenes, when there's information like that they don't want to get out, the police can, like, stop the media from releasing that if it's, like... hypersensitive. But I guess the police didn't know that information either until it was too late.
Yeah.
But I was like, oof, media. Media fucks up a lot of cases.
It's so true.
But then also you, like, need the media to to push cases or they'd never get solved. So it's hard. Also, we the public love to know.
I did follow the Casey Anthony case very closely.
Who didn't? Casey Anthony's fucking wild. The angriest case for me probably is Casey Anthony. OJ Simpson makes me mad, but not like Casey Anthony.
Yeah, it's very infuriating. Special.
Yeah, I think it's because like OJ Simpson. Yeah, he murdered those people, but he, like, you can kind of see it, like, why he did it almost. And then also, you know, he got off because he's rich.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of problems with, like, the police and race issues at that time. And also, you know that, like, he, I don't know, you know what I mean? There's a lot of things that, like, you know he did it, but you also kind of understand what happened and why it happened.
Yeah, like, the sociological implications of what was happening at the time.
Yeah, and, like... He didn't, like, try to hide the murder. Versus, like, Casey Anthony, where it's, like, how could this, like, everything. Like, O.J. Simpson was really not caught in that many lies when you think about it. Like, there was a ton of evidence against him. And he got caught in lies, but he didn't get caught in, like, as many lies as she did. Just, like, blatant...
She's, like, a pathological liar, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, lying about... She's the type of person who lied about, like, going to work for a year, and she didn't have a job, so she just, like, went somewhere for 8 hours a day.
Yeah, which is just, like, so fucking weird. And then... like, all the shit with Casey Anthony and her dad, and accusing her dad of killing her daughter,
and accusing him of raping her and stuff.
Which is, like, turns out to be not true, and no way it's true. And then all the stuff with, like, not reporting her missing for so long.
Ugh.
It's, like, all of that is so... It's, like, just so obvious that she did it. It's, like...
And her car smelling like a dead body.
Yeah, it's literally... And the cadaver dogs and everything. It's, like, every single thing alerts to the fact that she did it and nobody else. Like, yeah. And the fact that she got off is just, like, beyond... I am like, 100% convinced that she got off because Florida... She was up for the death penalty.
Oh, yeah, and people didn't want to murder this little mom, this young lady who looked like she, you know, couldn't do anything wrong.
Exactly, and it's like, I think if it had been just a prison sentence, they would have been much more likely to sentence her.
And that's like, a problem with the death penalty, too.
Yeah, is that people will put you away for life because there's always a chance you could get...
Exonerated.
You know, exonerated, but people... I mean, granted, when they select juries, especially for high-profile cases, they're supposed to ask, like, would you ever sentence someone for the death penalty? And if they say no, they're supposed to say, well, if it was, like, a hung jury and you were the only person, would you? And then they choose based on that. But, like, I don't know if they did that in her case. I also don't know, like, I don't know. I just think it's easy to say, oh, yeah, I swear the death penalty, but then it's another thing when the girl's 22 years old and they dye her hair to make her look really attractive. And then it's like, yeah, you hear all this bullshit, but still. Oh, I mean, I know there have been, like, interviews with the jurors where they've basically said, like, that's a large part of the reason. And then also because there were some, like, unanswered questions about, like, where was Kaylee for 30 days, and how come we can't prove the way she died? And it's like, well, also because she was so fucking decomposed.
Because she had been missing for a month.
Because this goddamn woman didn't report her for so long. She decomposed beyond the point where you can do any, like, real tests. But also, her having duct tape over her mouth should tell you a lot. Blech.
Mm-hmm.
I hate Casey Anthony.
Oh, how do we get from John McClane to Casey Anthony?
Talking about incompetent police, I think.
Incompetent police, yeah, that's what it was.
So many cases with incompetent police. It hurts. It is hard. It's hard. It's hard. But yeah, I like this movie.
Me too.
It's probably... Honestly, probably my favorite action film that I can think of.
Trying to think. I really like it. It's a really good action movie.
I don't really like action movies, so... I liked this, so...
You liked Speed? I definitely
enjoyed it. Oh my god, I love Speed, but for different reasons. Not because it's good. But because I think it's really bad. Oh my fucking god, Speed. We should do that one day.
I know.
I have a lot of thoughts on Speed. Alright. What would you give it?
Ooh. As an action film, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, me too. As an action film, 10 out of 10. As, like, a film, I don't know, because...
I'm not judging it based on that. I'm judging it based on an action film, because that's what it is.
Yeah, and it's good. I have a review.
Yay.
The reviews for this were incredibly hard to find because all of them were just like 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10. I ended up having to sort through the reviews by star rating, and there was only like 5 one-star reviews. But this one's good. So here we go. This is 1 out of 10. Worst film ever. This is, like, so cliched. Mission Impossible is getting ripped off by this film. Wow, that is stealing. Mission Impossible came out, like, 10 years after this film, by the way. It steals... It steals from every terrorist movie ever. This film should fly into the 9/11 towers for all I care. I mean, it's really bad.
What?
Okay. The main character looks like Donald Duck with his face squished in, and I wish he died, like, really hard. So I wouldn't have to ever see that ugly guy again. You could go watch The Grown-Ups 2. It's way better. And even if this film was good, the cover art is so bad, I give it a 1 out of 10. And mean, who designed that stuff? Even a 6-year-old could design it better. And the director must have been really dumb and immature to make such a bad film. I could do better, too. Just give me a camera, okay? And I could film Die Hard, and everyone loves it, but this is terrible. I also want to be like, you could film Die Hard? That bitch was practical effects. This movie can fly into the 9/11 towers. Terrible. For all I care.
Terrible.
I was like, Jesus Christ. Also, I like that it compares it as a ripoff of Mission Impossible, which came out after this movie.
I know. If anything, this movie, like, helped define modern action films.
I know. I was like, ugh. Rip. Isn't that good? Aren't we so glad that that's one of the 5 one-star reviews on IMDb? Thank you so... This was written in 2013. Thank you so much to that reviewer. I always, like... I know that the chances of this are so small, but I just want one of the reviewers to, like, listen to this show so bad one day. That's the goal. You know what I mean? Is that someone whose review we make fun of listens to this podcast.
I just can't stop thinking about the Holes one.
The Holes one was insane.
It was insane. Oh my God.
I will never, ever get over that. If you guys like us reading reviews, we did a thing on Patreon where we read, like, the funniest IMDb reviews we could find.
And you guys should listen to it. If you like this segment, then you should listen to that.
If this segment is something you love, you should definitely look at that. Also, this week on Patreon, we've got Booksmart coming out.
One of my new favorites.
Yeah, so we have updated the Patreon to basically we were doing trying to do more fun things on Patreon, but the truth is, like, we're not that creative and it's really hard. So instead, Patreon is becoming its own exclusive feed. So now every week Patreon will get a movie, an episode just like this, but it will be on Patreon. So instead of having 1 a week, you could have 2 a week. We will also, any new movies that we cover, so like movies that are still in the theater. So like we've covered Joker, we just covered Knives Out, Frozen 2. All of those have been covered like within the past 2 months. Those are going to be released on Patreon as early releases. So they might be released on here one day. But they will only be released basically if, like, we don't have time to record, or we're on vacation, or one of us is sick, stuff like that. That's when they're going to be released. So if you want early access to those, and you want to see those when you just saw the movie or something, you'll have to go to Patreon. And there also is a possibility that some of them will never be released on here. I guess it just depends on how many episodes we have to release. So that's what Patreon's becoming. It's becoming its own separate feed. That's what's easiest for us. And I think, honestly, it's what people are going to like the most.
Yeah, I think people will enjoy it.
So go donate money to that. You really only need to donate $1. You get access to all of that content. And then, of course, you get super cool access to other stuff as the tiers go up. Even at our top tier, you get to literally watch a movie with us, like, not in our home, but via the internet. So, all, like, really, really cool stuff, plus merch, things like that. So, if that's something that interests you, it's not a lot of money, and it's a cool deal. I think that's it.
Yeah, I think so too. Good movie. Good action movie. Good Christmas movie.
True. Maybe one of my faves. What's your favorite Christmas movie, Jane?
The Santa Claus.
That's the one with
Tim Allen.
That's a good one.
It's good. I really like it. I really enjoy the first Santa Claus movie. I enjoy all of them, actually, if I'm being completely honest, but the first one's the best.
I mean, they're all good.
Yours is Elf, right?
It's either Elf or Nightmare Before Christmas. I do really love Elf.
I do not like Elf.
What?
I think it's obnoxious.
Well, now we're going to have to review it, aren't we? All right. Well, you heard it here. Next week is going to be Home Alone.
Yep, we're going to stick with the Christmas theme.
Christmas theme. So next week is Home Alone. So you should have all seen that. If not, it's time to catch up. It's been 20 years. So
Yeah.
Give it a watch. Anyway, follow us on social media. Donate to us on Patreon.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.